When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
This week on All of the Above with Norman Lear, Veep star Julia Louis-Dreyfus sits down with Norman and Paul.
Well, you know, there wasn't a script when I was first talking to HBO about it. There was a concept, and my agent had said to me, listen, they're developing this thing at HBO about an unhappy vice president, an unhappy female vice president. And I thought to myself, well, I got to get in on this action because it's gold, and it's so amazing that nobody's done it before.
Listen today on the Podcast One app or subscribe at Apple Podcasts or on PodcastOne.com.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on mandate. Get it on. Welcome to CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea.
Hello.
Hello, man. Love talking about some cars.
Yeah.
Spent the evening with Leno last night.
How was that? I was going to ask about that.
It was good. Leno's...
But he's like, he's quirky. Like, he's fun, but quirky and like sometimes a little weird, but... You know what I'm saying? Like, he's got that... Different.
Well, he's like many comedians, you know. I think comedians are very interesting people. He's kind of a guy who... There's a lot of comedians that are, you know... They're comedians. It's like, you know, Ellen's a comedian, but she's private and angry. You know, so
yeah.
It's kind of weird. You think, oh, it'd be a total hoot to hang out with Ellen, but it probably wouldn't be.
No.
But, and then there are other people who are comedians like Jimmy who are fun and regular and easy.
And a good cook, too, which I like.
Good cook and just wants to
when he wants the barbecue
and play some softball and hang. Hang, you know.
But Jay's he can't sit still, and he's like a little fidgety. And like when we go over there for like a movie night, like he's vibrating, like he's always moving.
Yeah, well, he let's see. So he showed up. He was sweet. He showed up. He didn't drive anything exotic. I told everyone, you know, no Duesenbergs or steam powered Stanley steamers because he's got to get from his shop in Burbank over the hill in L.A.
Yeah,
and. Even Jay doesn't want to drive, you know, something with wooden spokes. You got to go on the 110.
The problem is if you asked him, he would do it.
Right.
He's a sweet guy, and he would do it. And he would, you know, it would suck for him to do it.
No, he is. And he's sweet. And he showed. Now, the thing about Jay that's great is he's doing jokes, a routine for the audience in between each stop down. So, you know, we tape the show to real time.
Yeah.
It takes an hour. And the commercials are to real time.
Adam Carolla and Friends build stuff live, by the way. This is what we're talking about.
Right.
Jay's going to be on that.
Yeah. This Monday at 11 o'clock, 10 Central on Spike. So Jay's going to be on it. And it's the last of the season.
Finale, yeah.
And so Jay's in between sets, people are usually either talking to me or builds. You know, so you go, you do a 7, 8, 9 minute segment, and then you have a 5 minute commercial break, and the 5 minute commercial breaks are two time.
Yeah.
So,
because it's live show. So yeah, there's no,
it's not live. Like it's live to tape, as they call it now, but whatever it is, I don't ask me, but they just keep they keep the show timed out.
Sure.
So they can time the show. Because it's hard to time the show out, or it's one more thing to factor in. So just make the commercial breaks whatever they're going to be on TV.
Yeah.
So it's 5 minutes or 4 minutes or whatever it is. And if you're Joel McHale or Jimmy Kimmel or whoever else, Adam Sandler we've had on the show, you either build during that period of time if you're into it.
Yeah.
Or you come over and talk to me. Or you deal with, you know, your people. You know, these people travel around with the hair and the makeup person, sure. And then they got their person, and their person comes up to them, and one person's dabbing stuff on their upper lip, and the other person's smoothing some hair out, and the other person's handing them a BlackBerry, and they're handing it back.
Where do I go next, and how do I, you know, where, you know, what, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, or they're
just
standing,
getting ready for the
next thing. Or it's just me and Jimmy just standing there and just talking. Leno has got the mic from the warm-up guy. And it's just telling jokes.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, if they're not even like, hey, where are you from? I mean, no, he's doing jokes.
Yeah.
He's talking about, hey, here's my mom's favorite joke from back in the day. Here's a new joke. You know, he is the warm-up guy.
I love that.
Because there's a couple of bleachers filled with human beings, and then there's Jay Leno, and he's standing there. So give me the mic.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell some jokes. And that's what he does. And, like, when you're done, the thing ended up with this sort of makeshift go-kart race kind of thing. And the thing's great about Jay is a lot of celebrities, if you said, look, you're going to get in this piece of shit go-kart and go down this hill that Adam's jack-off buddy built from junior high and the other guy you don't know built, there'd be some, like, how fast, where?
Yeah.
Is there a break?
Why, like, did my people tell me about
this? Is this thing safe? Like, what are we doing here? Not Jay. It's just, sounds good.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, good. So then Jay came out, and Jay just did what Jay does. And he's great. He's great on his feet. He's busting my chops. I mean, it's a fun... You do realize when you're out there with someone who's been doing this for 40 years and has never missed a day.
Yeah.
And is just good on their feet, like knows an audience, gauges an audience, plays an audience. It's not the same as having this guy who's really funny on, you know, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia or something. You go, that guy's super funny. Yeah, but he doesn't have 200,000 hours logged.
Of live shows.
Of standing in front of a group and all different groups.
Yeah.
Starting off in bowling alleys, then going to corporate gigs, you know, then going to casinos, and then, you know, in the studio. Like, Jay has...
And still does it. Still on the road, doing corporate gigs and doing...
Yeah.
Like... He works a lot.
And he when we were all leaving out into the parking lot to go do the finale race, Jay was standing there taking pictures with everyone, talking to everybody and whatever. And I just said, saying to Mike August on the way out, I said, I was on the phone with him. I said, Jay, he's such a friendly guy, comes up to everyone, does everything. And I just said, he doesn't need to be loved, but he needs to be liked. And I don't think he wants you to love him, but he wants you to like him.
Yeah.
And that's why he just bends over backwards to be super friendly to all the staff. And he also realizes that word of mouth is everything. Like, if you ever go, hey, ever worked with Jeremy Piven? Yeah, that guy's a douchebag. That's what people say that, like, immediately. And if they go, hey, you ever work with Leno? They'll go, oh, yeah, that guy's, he's the best.
He's nice.
Yeah. And that's what he wants. That's what he wants to emanate out there.
He made us hamburgers.
That's right. Last time we were at his place.
So I got a question for you. When you were going into this show and you were doing, like, this go-kart soapbox derby kind of thing. Now, on the car show years ago...
Yeah.
That didn't go well when you did the Red Bull thing.
No.
I don't think that there's a YouTube clip for that you can check.
There is.
But so what made you decide to do this again? Like, you came in last time with, like, some road rash and some wounds, basically like half one side of your body, leg, hip. There was damage. There was damage done.
Well, what happened last time with the Red Bull, everyone's going to need a tetanus shot competition they had over in May of 2011. First off, the timing couldn't have been worse. You can't make any of this stuff up. On May 11th, 2011, or May whatever, 2011, 24th, or I think it was 21st. Like a day or two. It was before my birthday a little bit, which is on the 21st. I had sold out the Wiltern Theater, which is a big deal for me because I grew up out here, and Wiltern, on rare occasion, I'd go see a concert or something there.
Yeah.
But it was a big deal that I would never be playing the Wiltern Theater. I'd be going to watch David Bowie there or something, but I'd never play it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
but so the idea that this place, like, you know, I did earthquake rehab two blocks away on Normandy and would see the Wiltern and go, you know, see the marquee with the names up there and go, like, I never, you got to go back to this crazy man's bathroom, put tile up, you know. So it was pretty interesting to me that I could even just do that. But I was doing the car show, which was not well produced. And they pick this day, like, hey, they're doing the Red Bull Gergenschlager, and it's a race through downtown L.A. On these you know, soapbox derby cars. Everyone does a crazy one, you know. And I said, okay, when is it? And they're like, oh, it's the afternoon of this thing. And I was kind of like, geez, I hate to work before I work, you know. And, and it's also, it's nice on big nights with lots of comedy and lots of stuff to go over. It's always just nice to have some quiet, you know, the best thing
just
you can
focus
do.
A little bit.
Best thing you can do is about 1 o'clock that day, take the dog or anything or yourself, depending on what city you're in, just take a nice walk.
Yeah.
Just literally, like, put some earbuds in, put some classical music in, just take a nice long walk. You're not going over what you're saying or anything, but it's kind of there, and you're kind of you're mixing some orders and some material around. But for me, just a nice long walk with the earbuds and some classical music is probably how I like that. And then at some point, you catch a nap about 4 in the afternoon. You get up and you kind of recharge everything. Maybe even like skip some rope for 20 minutes, like get like the juices flowing, take a shower, and then get dressed and go in and do it. Like that's the best. You'll be at your best.
Okay.
And I've had many drank too much on the airplane, got out, and someone pushed me out on the stage.
Yeah.
You know, those two. And that's just and you're in a different time zone, and you're sleep deprived. That's a tougher putt.
Right.
Because just like any of you, you're working harder to access your material and that part of your brain and blah, blah, blah. But
And it's a serious pivot. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you are out here doing, like you said, like podcasts or doing whatever your job is, then you got to do like a complete pivot to go do a live show in a couple hours later, you know, or you're doing your TV show and then you got to go do the Wiltern. Like that's a pretty strong pivot to like shift gears from one to the next, you know? So you need a little bit of meditation, I guess, in between.
Yeah, it's nice. It's not necessary, but it helps. And I don't know. It's like a first date or job interview or whatever. It's like, hey, you want to put your best foot forward.
Yeah.
You don't go to bed hungover the night before, get 4.5 hours sleep, get pushed out, do a roofing job, and then meet the chick at the bar at 8. Like, you're just not going to be at your best.
Right. Okay.
All right. So it's that kind of thing. But they planned this Red Bull run on Saturday, and they wanted me to do it for the car show.
Yeah.
And so I showed up, and the first thing that I'm always amazed, I'm amazed at how little people want to do their jobs. Bodie Stroud made the hot dog.
Yeah.
That I was in. The big five guys. The first thing I said.
Soapbox Derby.
Yeah, they said, but it's Red Bull, so you got to do something crazy.
It's got to have a wacky theme or gimmick.
So the first thing I said is, let's make it a tampon.
Yeah.
That'll be funny. And they were like, nah. It's like, it's funny. Well, that's, I don't know.
No, we talked about that. You had like a name. You had the driver's name. It was going to be like a white tampon with a guy in a red driving suit. His name was going to be Max Pad or Max Pad, something like that.
Yeah, something.
About that.
Yeah. Max Pad is pissed.
The real Max Pad is
so
pissed.
So I, you know, and they're like,
I got a royalty.
Of course, they went with no. So. And I thought that'd be the funniest go-kart up there. But anyway, then they went with the less funny hot dog.
Hot dog.
All right, which is okay.
Chili dog.
So I got in the – I went to go examine the thing.
Yeah.
And first thing that you notice when you get there is like, oh, this is a big old steep hill. Like, this is no joke.
The Red Bull stuff is like serious stuff.
Yeah, like,
and this wasn't the TV show setup thing. This was the real Red Bull event, and the TV show happened to want to film there.
Right. So the first thing you do is you hike up the long hill, and you kind of go, well, look, if I was on a skateboard and I just went down this hill, I'd be dead when I got to the bottom. Like, it's kind of a big hill.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you do is you go over to the hot dog, and the inside, the part where you climbed in, was just jagged fiberglass.
Yeah.
And then everything else was just sort of jagged metal because Bodie just thrown the thing together
but
in seconds.
They told him, like, put something together for the TV show. It's like, we're going to push him around.
No. The whole thing was one big sharp item inside the car. And then you start doing stuff like, where's the brake? And it's like, the brake, the handle, it's a squeeze handle. It's on the steering wheel. And you go, okay. And you grab the brake, and the car just rolls. Doesn't do a thing.
Yeah.
It's just, the brake doesn't.
It's cosmetic. It's a cosmetic brake.
Do anything. So you go, look, let me see this brake here. And so you see the brake. And when you see the brake, they go, oh, you're squeezing it, and the pads aren't even touching the rim. Like on a 10 speed where the thing's too low, where the tensioner's too loose.
Right.
So you're like, all right, we got to turn the tensioner. We got to get some stuff.
Get somebody with a pair of pliers. Get over
here. And they're like, does anyone have any tools? No, nope. We do not. We do not have tools.
How do TV guys not have tools?
They're bad producers. It's called being a bad producer. It's not how or who forgot or anything. It's called being a bad producer. Bad producer. I go, anyone got a crescent wrench and pliers we can adjust the? No, we don't have.
There's probably 30 guys standing around with gaffer's tape and nobody has a pair of pliers.
And I said, okay, this thing looks like one big jagged mess and this hill is steep and these brakes at this point don't work. So where's the elbow pads? Where's the gloves? Where's the stuff I'm going to need when I...
Yeah.
When and if I eat shit on this thing. And they're like, we don't have anything. Like,
it's not our job.
There's no gloves. There's no elbow pads. Like, I would have brought gloves and elbow pads and shit from home, but I just assumed you guys would bring a bunch of this shit. Like, no, I didn't have anything. So I was like, now, if you watch the film, I'm wearing gloves. I'm wearing the gloves OJ couldn't fit into. I'm not wearing driving gloves or protective gloves. I'm wearing gloves because one guy went, I got gloves in my car, but they're not really gloves. They're not for this.
Yeah, and no, I was like, I use them for murder.
Yeah. I was like, go get your murder gloves out of your Bronco and bring them. And he's like, all right, I'll go get some gloves. Like, I was like, so no one brought anything.
No.
You could have said to me, hey, we're not bringing anything. So if you, I have gloves, elbow, I have equipment.
Yeah.
I just didn't bring it. Well, one, I got to do the wheel turn show. Anyway.
Yeah, I would have dressed like a little league umpire if I knew that was going to be the case.
So I got there and I was like, somebody's got it. I think we wrangled some like needle nose pliers, which are always the last tool you want to use for anything. And I started adjusting the brakes and working on the brakes. And we got the brakes to grab a little bit. And somebody went and got the gloves, and then I started just looking at the course, and I was kind of sizing it up, and I was like, and the times would come in, you know, from the 50 people that went in front of me, and their time, and I'd see them breaking a little before the jump. There's like little jumps and stuff, and I sort of went, I think, my car had ball bearing rims and were tall, like, you know, like 10 speed tires on there. And it's like, this thing's going to haul ass if I just let it go. And if I let it go, I was kind of sizing the whole thing up. And I was like, I can do this. I think I can I can get on the pole here. Everyone else is kind of going slow and braking too much and stuff like that.
I wonder why.
So I said, I sussed out the top part, which is just downhill, jump, downhill, jump, downhill, jump. But I was like, that's fine. I'll just go straight. And then I said to the guy, and then after this 90 banked berm thing, this big metal contraption, I was like, that seems like a tough thing to negotiate.
So but then, it goes down and it has a couple of turns. And then there's like a up in the air kind of banked turn, almost like a Hot Wheels set kind of turn.
Right.
Right.
And then after that, it's just kind of after that's just like a straightaway to the finish line. So I was like, if I can hit it, go through everything fast and then slingshot around this big berm thing. I'll just go right for the finish line. I think I'm going to set the record here.
Yeah.
But I walked up to somebody who was setting it up or knew what they were doing or whatever, and I just said, what's the deal with this turn? And he said, you know what? You just go ahead and just hit it flat out, and it'll just take you and just shoot you out the other side. Just gotta kind of trust it. And it's sort of like, I don't know, when you do Fontana, you know, you go, oh boy, coming up on the bank. And it's like, don't lift, just stay on it. You know, yeah. Well, I want to lift. No, stay on it. You'll just be stuck to it and you'll just go around it. And it's like, all right. And it's scary, but sure enough, they're right. You know?
Yeah.
So you listen to those guys. And I
did. He built the entire track with needle nose pliers. That was all that was available.
I went through the top part, and I was like zigzagging, going over jumps and making good time. And then came time for this big metal berm, and I was just like, well, the guy said just hit it flat.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. Just hit it flat out, and you'll just get slingshotted out of the other side. I'll tell you what happened first. I'll tell you about Rich Uncles. Rich Uncles. I'm a big fan of richuncles.com. I invested in one of their REITs. It's a real estate investment trust. I've been getting cash dividends ever since, just like they outline. I know many of our listeners have been very satisfied investing with Rich Uncles. Oh, funny here. It says inventing with Rich Uncles, but I bet they've been investing. That's what I think.
That's where the real money is.
You got to invent or something.
If you invent it.
Yeah, Rich Uncles, and our fans like it. I like it. Why not? The bank's given, I don't know, 1.5% on a T-bill. These guys are much more like they're averaging about 7%, so why not? All right, here's how smart they are. They're checking for interest in a proposed REIT for student housing. Simple, student housing. Parents pay for it. Why not you keep the money? Smart. So they're going to get facilities all around the country in major colleges and universities. If you're interested, go to richuncles.com. Express your interest in the Rich Uncles Student Housing REIT. It's a Reggae Tier 2 offering. That's richuncles.com or give them a call, 855-RICH-UNCLES.
Rich Uncle Student Housing REIT is seeking indications of interest concerning its Reg A Tier 2 securities offering. Any indication of interest involves no obligation or commitment of any kind. No money or other consideration is being solicited. And if sent in response, will not be accepted. No sales will be made or commitments to purchase accepted until the offering statement is qualified. This media outlet is being paid under $15,000 by Rich Uncles for this single message.
So, true to my words and true to this guy's words, I just hit this big metal berm. Goes up about 8 feet, maybe 10 feet.
Yeah.
I just hit it flat out. I'd been at the top of the hill. I never touched a brake. I just went, I'm okay. Just going for it. And my big shortcoming is, and the asswipe I was talking to, they didn't say, like, kind of swing it out a little and start to break in a little toward it. Just hit it. You know, he was like, just hit it. And as I realized too late, the way I hit it was a little straight on and a little inside, and if I just swung it out a little and then brought it back,
yeah,
I probably could have made it, but he didn't say anything like that.
No.
He just said, just hit it straight on and hit it wide open, and sure enough, I did, and the first half of the turn was fine. But when I got to the second part of the turn, I realized it was just shooting me out the top of it. And there's a picture of me shooting out the top of it, but what you can't see is the
You look
thing,
fine. You look happy.
The thing is 8 feet tall. Like, there's a lot of real estate underneath me. The way that the thing is kind of cropped out, but if you get a shot of the thing, it's on video somewhere. I was up high and then just got splatted and slid. If you look at the actual berm, the berm is...
Wow, you guys want to see this, check out carcastshow.com.
The berm is 10 feet high and I just got thrown on the ground and dragged.
So you went up high and then you hung a wheel over that edge.
Yes.
And then that screwed everything up from there.
Then I just went dragging on the asphalt across the other side with my hip dragging against the side of the jagged fiberglass and my elbow just slowing me down on the dirt.
Gotta stop somehow.
Yeah.
Might as well use flesh.
Yeah. Thank God I had a show to do that night.
How'd that go?
As I recall, it was a good show, but man, my hip had a huge bruise on it. My arm was
Advil and
gassed
up. Cocktail and you're ready to go.
I had so much road rash in my life that I took about a 25 years off. Well, when I was back, it just kind of felt familiar.
It all came rushing back.
So I was trying to explain to Sonny last night, because he's talking about playing tackle football. And I was just like, look, I don't know what to tell you. I played 7 years of Pop Warner. Like, everyone in his class is worried about breaking bones, concussions, whatever. Yeah. And it's just like, I don't know what to tell you, brother. I did 7 years of organized football, organized padded tackle football before I got to high school. So,
you know,
I would have been in my fourth season at your age. So, and you guys are all worried about who's going to dislocate a pinky. And I'm like, I got no news for you other than every kid should get a dislocated pinky. I don't have a problem with it.
You know, what's really crazy is every day I ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You know how much gluten that is?
And the peanuts. What about the allergies?
The peanut allergies and gluten? Oh, couldn't get away with that now.
I don't use the word hero that often. Hey, Matt, 42 from Houston. What's going on?
Yes, sir, Ace Man. How you doing?
Good, man.
Great. Got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
My lady is looking to buy a Jeep Grand Cherokee SRT8.
Uh-huh. Nice.
And we found a 2014 for about $50,000.
Yeah, I got gotcha.
And with 30,000 miles on it. But you know, we can snag a 17 for about 70. And I know 20 grand's a big deal, but if you're going to buy a performance, my question is, do you need what are your thoughts on buying a performance vehicle? You buy it used with a little work on it, or because anything after like 98, I can't touch.
Yeah. Well, by the way, keep in mind that very soon that Jeep SRT8 it's gonna have the Hellcat engine in it. They've already announced
Uh-oh.
That. So there's a 707 horsepower version that does like 0-60 in 3 seconds. So.
I was
right.
That's going to have the Hellcat,
I think,
but not
pushing like 470 right now.
Yeah, Hellcat, but not the Demon.
Not the Demon.
Okay, the Demon's 8 something.
Yeah, it's like 840, 850 horsepower.
The
do you guys believe it'll be around the same price point or no?
I think,
have they said anything about that?
I think there's probably going to be a little bit of a price increase for. Here's the thing: if they do an SRT8 with the engine that's in it now and a Hellcat version, there's going to be a premium. But if they get rid of the SRT8 current horsepower and they just go to the Hellcat version or whatever they're calling it,
Trackhawk,
something like that,
850.
Then I'm not quite sure.
The Demon's 850, by the way.
I did talk to the guys from Dodge long ago, and they've been trying hard to bring the cost down of that truck, but it's tough because they want it to have the luxury items and the nice seats and stuff like that, and
the
all-wheel drive. It's an expensive thing to make.
I was hanging when I did the Toyota Grand Prix. I don't know, third one. I think it was me and Tony Hawk and Keanu Reeves and a couple other dudes. And we're like, we're hanging around the hotel and we're like, we want ribs. And we want barbecue. Who wants barbecue? And like, we all wanted barbecue. So Tony, who was driving at the time, I think it was the Jeep, but it was like breathed on by Venom or something like that, or one of those
Hennessy
Venom. Yeah, Venom. It was like, I think it was before
something
all
like
of
that.
This.
Yeah.
I think you could get like the Jeep Cherokee Hennessy or something.
Yeah,
and I think he had the Jeep Cherokee Hennessy, and me and him and Keanu Reeves and I can't remember who else. We just went out and just rip place it. I remember Tony drove. Got to figure out who's paying there, you know.
Yeah,
but there he is. Yeah, That's him. We got a picture of him. Is he driving a Hennessy?
Yeah, upgraded by Hennessy Performance. It's a 2008 Grand Cherokee Jeep SRT8.
Yeah.
So he had the SRT8. What year is it, sorry?
2008.
So the SRT8 goes back to 2008 or even before?
Before. And that's a previous body. I think we're like 3 body styles in on the SRT8 truck.
Yeah, and a lot more fancy things.
I would be curious what any of those Hennessys floating around were going for. If they're,
yeah,
you probably couldn't talk Tony out of his, but there's got to be It's got to be someone who's got divorced.
Well, one of the features that I did like when you, because like you said, you were looking for a used one, and I'll let you finish in a second, but I like it with the newer, whatever is the 8-speed transmission or whatever they put into it, because the previous transmission just, it wasn't that great, and the gas mileage was even shittier than you would expect.
Right.
So, oh, wow. Okay.
So make sure you get whatever the 8-speed, right, and then you got to keep your foot out of
Forget about the all right. Let's just put gas aside. Thank God you live in Houston, not in SoCal. Paying extra $1.75 sure. a gallon yeah. here. But you can't even dream of gas mileage of any kind with this vehicle.
With that much power.
No, you're not. And listen, I love your wife for being into this. And I'll say this. Speaking of this, so I was talking to Leno last night, and he's going to receive his new Ford GT on Monday.
Nice.
Yeah, it's coming to a shop on Monday. Color scheme. Ooh, an exclusive CarCast. Breaking news.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Black with an orange stripe, and then the interior is black and orange, too. And I said, that's really cool. Because it's, the Golf livery is a little obnoxious, and it's like, it's a little bit fucked out, and it's a little bit, been there and done that, and all that. And this has a little nod to the Golf livery, but the orange on the black, with the black with the orange stripe in it, and I can kind of picture the interior already. This sounds pretty bitchin'. So
I'm picturing some of his other Fords, his 65 GT350 white with the blue stripe, and I think he has a red Ford GT with white stripe.
You're right. Right. Yeah. Red or white, but yeah.
Yeah.
The reason I bring that up, well, mainly to name drop after I'm done with Keanu and Tony.
Yeah.
I got to drop Jason.
Of course.
But let me also help you to say, this is a modern day classic that's going to be worth more than he paid for it, if he paid, in fact, he paid it all.
Yeah.
It's going to be worth more 10 years from now. So does...
Yeah, in 2 years from
what,
now.
So in the past, before this, we're living in a time where you just bought a brand new loaded whatever, and it was just worth a quarter as much 4 or 7 years later, right? I mean, you watch Barrett and Meekum and all that kind of stuff, and you see Aston Martins, see Bentleys, tons of Bentleys, loaded Bentleys passing through there for $31,000. It was formerly $157, it's pennies on the dollar. And I say pennies, I'm not really talking about a quarter on the dollar. So does this Jeep SR8, does it fall into some category? Now, not traditionally, but what I am saying is, Matt, I would do research on production numbers. And if I thought they were coming up with something in the future that had that Hellcat motor and it was going to be 500 units or something like that, I would rationalize spending that new car money. If not, I'd go with the older one.
Right. Okay.
All right. There you go, Matt.
Thanks so much, guys.
God bless you and God bless your wife. All right. Max Zapata did a wonderful job. It's an interesting thing. So we always do our race footage here, and we just kind of run. We string it together, and we just talk over it. And the car people like it, but I don't think the wives like it. Or they're mildly amused, but it's no big whoop. So I did the show, Adam Carolla and Friends Build Stuff Live. And it's a building show. It's not a car show, but I like the car stuff.
Yeah.
And but at the end, it just so happens that Jay Leno was coming in at the end.
Yeah. You never said what he drove, by the way, to the show.
Oh, I'm sorry. He drove something. It was a Jeep, the new Jeep, not the SR, not the Cherokee, but the Jeep.
Like a Wrangler?
No, it's a Jeep. It's same as a Cherokee. Just
Jeep, like a
Chrysler. It's like a Chrysler Cherokee, but it's not a Cherokee. I hadn't really, it was like Sequoia or something, but it wasn't a Sequoia. It's a weird, I was looking at it, but it wasn't, he just kind of slummed it. He was letting his other friend drive it. It's a car they got for Jay Leno's garage, like a camera car or something.
Gotcha.
It wasn't anything. He just took like the car that it's still free.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just like it was, and it's still new. But I think it was a Chrysler, and it was a Chrysler, not a minivan or a Jeep or anything. It was like whatever Chrysler's version of the Cherokee was. I it had a weird name. You got to look it up, Max Pata.
Yeah, like some sort of SUV.
Yeah, yeah, I don't even know. Sport now. SUV.
Yeah,
but
and not the Dodge.
I could have been the Dodge. It could have been the Dodge.
Like a Durango.
No, not a Durango, but a... God, I had like in some other national park or something. I can't... that thing. It started with a C. I can't think of the damn name of it. Anyway, so I said, you know, they were like, well, look, what roll-in bit do we want to do? You know, and I said, well, Leno's here. We're doing a build-off on these Soapbox Derby racers, and then me and Leno are going to go race the thing at the end.
Yeah.
And then we're taking some car questions for like Leno. So I said, I went and did this Trans Am race, and we got a lot of good footage from this Trans Am race. We should whack something together.
Yeah.
And they'd seen bits and pieces of it before, but it's like, it's just the way we do it. We just whack it together and just show the footage, maybe put a little music underneath it or something like that. But I said, well, look, if this is going to play for the chicks that are programming and going through this stuff over at Spike, and the chicks that are our producers, one of the main women I deal with named Amanda, she's a foodie. You know what I mean? She's not interested in any of this stuff.
Right, right.
So I said, well, I'll tell you what, let me whack it down. Let Max Pata whack it down to about 2:30, somewhere around 2.5 minutes. And then let me lay over some VO. So I can let people know what's going on. Here's what I'm doing. Here's where
narrating
we were.
It for the everyman, not for the for this show.
Right. And so I said, we did a real rush job on it. We laid it all out the morning before. I had just 10 minutes in the booth to lay the stuff out. Chris just slugged it in as fast as he could because they needed it. It was real like day of. And he sent it to him like an hour before rehearsal of the day show. And I, you know, Amanda and I, it's like, it's one of these things where it's like, I go, hey, this would be really cool. This is really awesome. And she's like, I don't think people know what a Hemi is, you know? And I'd be like, oh no, guys know what a Hemi is. I've never heard of a Hemi, and I've asked people and they don't really. I have another thing involving a spice rack that I like to pick. And it's like, oh boy. And you look, this happens all the time. You get with these people.
Yeah.
I've had producers go, like, we're telling a joke, and we're like, you're going to be hanging out with the other hippie friends at Burning Man. And it's a 65-year-old guy. It's like, nobody knows what Burning Man is. And we're like, everyone knows what Burning Man is. They're like, nobody knows what Burning Man. Change the joke. And you're like, go ask it. And then, of course, he goes and asks one guy, but that guy, the way he asks it is, hey, underling, yeah, you don't know what Burning Man is, do you? And the guy goes, no, a little, but not really. Whatever you thought.
Yeah,
I knew it.
See?
And then he comes back into the office and goes, I just asked Chet. He had no idea what Burning Man was. So it's like, he was at Burning Man 2 years ago. Like, so there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
And so I just said, look, they're going to watch it, and then Amanda's going to come in where we're going over the prompter in this other room, and she's going to go, we watched the Willow Springs thing, and we thought it was good, but we just didn't feel like it was the right temperature for the show. You know, you'd get some sort of loose in-between talk of like cars, you know? And they'll do a lot of like, we liked it, but the Spike people felt like we, you know, if we have Jay in studio, that's gold, and we should really just stick.
Jay hosts a car show. They know that, right?
No, they know all of that. Okay. But what they would do, what I was prepared for is we're going to show them this thing because they don't have an interest. See, people really have to make a distinction between stuff that's not interesting and stuff they're not interested in.
Yes.
And people don't really make a distinction, which is, I'm not a big seafood fan, but I'm not going to Chef Jamie Gwen's seafood place and telling everyone it sucks. I'm just going to tell them I don't like seafood. I could even say I don't like seafood, but this is, I'm told, very good seafood.
Yeah.
But people just go, it's no good because I don't like seafood. And you have to kind of do a thing, which is this good or is it not good because you don't like cars? Anyway, we laid the voiceover stuff over. So she came in and I was like, okay, here we go. Well, it'll be some sort of wording that's like, oh, we just felt like would be better to stay with Jay. And she goes, that was so interesting. I loved hearing all about and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, really? And she's like, I'd watch a show where you just went out and did these races and then just narrated over them and said what was happening. And I was like, really? And everyone's like, yeah, it was really interesting. Like, we really liked it. And these are chicks.
I feel like it's a prank. I feel like this is a...
Jews, Hollywood types. Like, these aren't car people at all. And they're like, found it interesting. And it wasn't like, you know, they normally they come in and they go, it was good. Could we get it down to two? Like, they want to shrink everything or speed everything up. And they're like, so Amanda, who watches the Food Network, was like, I loved it. I thought it was really interesting. And I was like, oh, I always steer away, pardon the pun, from doing that. But it just led me to believe that we should just lay over these VO tracks over all our stuff. So you just tell people what's going on.
Yeah.
And so, nice job, MaxPad. Did we find out what kind of car Leno was driving?
I'm still looking at. I'm just
what do you got? Chrysler.
I'm just looking at Chrysler Cherokee alternatives. Like, I'm trying everything.
But you said Dodge. Go with Dodge SUV. And put like performance or something. Do you have that thing you whacked up, Chris? Your 2.5 minute thing?
Yeah.
I'm going to play it.
Spike must have liked it because I got an email from the lawyers going, how do I get, you know, how do I get the release for everything we just watched? And I was like, oh, yeah. You
it's
know.
Not the Journey, is it? Dodge Journey? Does that sound familiar at all?
I don't think it's the Journey, no. All right, we'll play that thing for you. We'll talk over it a little bit, but you guys can hear it. 2.5 minutes, and it's satisfying. And what you should do is we'll put it up on YouTube, right?
Yeah, yeah, we'll post it. And also check it out on Build Stuff Live.
This is Willow Springs Raceway, one of the fastest tracks in North America. I'll be driving in my first professional Trans Am race. This is the car. It's a Corvette C7R with 850 horsepower and a 5-speed sequential transmission. It's definitely the fastest car I've ever driven. But am I scared? Hell yes! And after only one practice session, I'm heading to the grid to go up against some of the fastest professional Trans Am racers in the world. This car has a different gear pattern than any car I've ever driven, so I made a cheat sheet. Am I confident? You tell me. This happened earlier in the day during qualifying, not at race speeds, during a warm-up lap.
Spin out.
It's all right.
So I'm feeling pretty good.
All I did was blip.
I got off the track a half lap into warm up, and all we have is a 40 lap race ahead of us. Well, we're about 30 laps into a 40 lap race. I'm starting to get comfortable, so it's time to open up this vet and see what she'll do. Here's how fast this track is. 158, and that's on turn 8. Turns out this vet is fast. Really fast. I got a little daylight on the left, and I'm going for it. After 40 laps and 100 miles, it's all over, and I ended up in third place. I waved to the track workers, the other drivers, and now it's time to celebrate. That's not my son.
Yeah.
Look at Maxipata there.
Good job.
Stringing
it
together.
Did you get your cool shirt yet?
I just pushed all the buttons. Adam had input there.
That's true.
Nah, 161 miles an hour on that straight coming out of that into turn one.
Yeah.
161.
Yeah, it's a fast track. No, I did not get my cool shirt yet.
Every time I see the picture of the car now, I keep thinking of the cool shirt.
I'm not upset, but it's Lynette. Her nose is way out of joint. She's like, where's that goddamn cool shirt? Yeah. And I was like, I don't know. And she's like, you're not going online and going to Summit and spending $89 on your own cool shirt. They promise you one. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry, sweetie, but I don't have any control over it. And it's never happened before. And she's like, never happened before? Show me the fucking certificate for the Mac Tilton Hard Charger Award.
That's right.
You know, the $100 certificate.
Toward any $1,000 pedal set.
You get, why didn't they just say 10% off of anything? Show me the $100 Mac Tilton Hard Charger Award that you got from Fontana 5 years ago. And then she just slaps me across the face and walks out of the room. That's her. Anyone knows Lynette, they know what's going on, man. All right, I'm going to tell you about this. AMSOIL. Move beyond stock performance. AMSOIL. Synthetic motor oil. We love... Any car guy should just love motor oil. I realize, you know, there's boobs and ass guys, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm a motor oil and rim guy.
Oh, yeah.
I like the rims. I like staring at them, putting them together, figuring out how big they are and stuff like that. Tire sizes, rims, and oil.
Dish sizes, breast size.
Yep. And AMSOIL is, well, you don't have to be an ass man. Combines a top-tier synthetic technology with unique additives to protect up to 25,000 miles or 1 year between changes. Shields engines from wear and deposits on pistons, cams. That leads to loss of power. So let's not do that. 75% or more engine protection against horsepower loss and wear than the industry standard requires. Piston cleanliness, 93% above the industry standard. So it's tested in the field. It's tested on the track. It's tested in extreme conditions. AMSOIL, AMSOIL.com/carcast for more information. AMSOIL, devoted to protection. All right, let's talk to Dave, 44 in Tulsa. Dave?
Hey, get it on, man.
Thanks, man. What's going on?
Well, I got a work car, and I got my personal car. And my personal car sits in the garage, and it sits and sits. And, you know, I may drive it once a month. I may drive it three times a month. But I look at it, and I think about, okay, well, the oil looks fine, but, I mean, do I need to change the oil? I mean, it could go...
AMSOIL, man.
First question, is it a Ferrari? Yeah. If it's a Ferrari, negative. Then the answer is different.
Negative.
Okay.
The 03 Monte Carlo Supersport.
Oh, so close.
yeah, exactly.
No,
yeah.
I mean, those other, I had the Aston Martin DB9. I still do. It's like, they don't tell you when you buy that car, I hope you're planning on starting it up every day.
Yeah.
Because if you let it sit for 2 days, it won't start. And the computer will go nuts. And it's like, it literally, that car, the first 51 times I tried to start, it's just like, it doesn't start.
You know, there's nobody more by the book on this stuff than Michael Anthony. Michael Anthony, guitar player, bassist, Van Halen, Chickenfoot.
Yeah.
That guy owns a bunch of cars, and like when he buys the Ferrari and it says, change the oil every 5,000 miles or 12 months, he will have 3 miles on the car. In 12 months, he will just drive it, get the oil changed. And all of his rich buddies are like, I think you don't have to do that. He's like, but the book says yes.
That's the publishing money, man.
That's it.
Hey, so Dave, I would start the car periodically, and I would put some good synthetic, like AMSOIL, in there. And synthetic, I'm much more apt to let hang around. I don't know. I kind of look at it as the old school traditional oil is organic. You know what I mean? And things that are organic, and this isn't apples to apples, but things that are organic, you know, you can leave a piece of American cheese out for a few days on your counter, but you can't leave an egg salad sandwich.
Right.
It's going to like start growing hair on it.
Yeah.
So this, the synthetic stuff, I think, I feel like you can walk away from longer than anything that comes from the earth or that's organic. So I'd go with the synthetic stuff, and then I would just start the car up once a week and get it to temperature.
Yeah. I wouldn't worry so much about the oil as much as I would the starting it up occasionally.
Yeah, and lots of other fluids and other parts of the car and things of that nature.
Take it around the block.
Now, what did we find? What the hell was Leno driving?
If you're looking at Dodge, their best SUVs are like the Durango SRT, the Nitro, or if we're doing Chrysler, the Aspen.
Keep going. Give me the Dodge Cronus and the Chrysler rundown. Cronus? What was that
you
one?
Got a couple photos.
What was the Cronus?
Cronus is a... The Aspen was inspired by the Cronus concept. I'm just reading aloud right now.
All right. You keep figuring that out.
Yeah.
I just went and looked at it. It was parked right next to my car. And it was a sport SUV, and it was... Chrysler,
throw a couple
or Dodge
photos up,
and just throw a few. Yeah, so I'll tell you guys in between about Geico. Save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. It's easy. What do you do? Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Why wouldn't you do that? Little walking around money, everybody. I'm looking at pictures of SUVs. Nothing looks right. All right, so what do you do? You want to save money? You all got car insurance. You all got cars. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. It is Geico. All right. Upper left.
That's like a Durango, an SRT or a special edition or...
Yeah, they do have the SRT version of that, but I feel like Adam would remember that.
I would remember the SRT part, but it did look a lot like this Dodge Durango, just a lesser, the white, if you show me the white version of it, it's what it looked like, but it didn't say Durango on the side. It said something.
This is called the Dodge Durango Blacktop Crosshair Grill.
Nah. But it did look like that. It did look like the Durango. If you show me the white one.
But also it could be... You know, Dodge sent Jay something that we've never, you know, like some special edition Durango that has we've never seen before because it's Jay.
That's Jay.
And he's probably got, you know, cameras duct taped to the roof because he's using it as a camera car and drilled some holes in it.
Well, that's what it is, and that's what it was. All right. Yeah, it was a Dodge Durango, but it said something different on the side, so it was a different type of something on the side. But anyway, it's a Dodge. Okay. You're right. All right. Let's see. If you guys want to support the show, go to carcastshow.com. Click through our Amazon banner. Bookmark us and all that kind of stuff. Check out the 24-Hour War and The Bug. A couple of good movies. And the Newman movie as well. It's available on chassis, chassy.com. You can also go to adamcarolla.com for any live shows or any stuff like that. Bar Carl's coming up with Lynette, June 24th. That's out in Seattle. Check that out. No Safe Spaces, me and Dennis Prager. And Shift and Steer.
Yeah.
That's the podcast with Matt. That's at Corolla Digital and Podcast One, all that good stuff. So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com. The Corolla Drinks, Comedy and Music Tour, live music, stand-up comedy, and buttloads of Mangria. June 17th in Long Beach at Di Piazza's. June 22nd in Fresno at Sequoia Brewing Company. And June 24th in Seattle, Washington at Showbox Soda Lounge. With special guest comedians and bands in every city featuring Loxy. Baby, let's roll. Plus,
comedy from Matt Edgar. Tickets and more information are available online at CorollaDrinks.com. The Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour. In Seattle with Lynette Corolla and Ray Oldhopper. In Long Beach with Mike Dawson and the Smokin' Kills.
Standing in the backyard, looking for a tree to climb.
June 17th in Long Beach. June 22nd in Fresno. June 24th in Seattle. The Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour with Loxie and Matt Edgar. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.